and some of the issues of our time are the quality of municipal services being offered and a census report that's just been done looking at non-financial variables done by the Statistician General of South Africa, or Stats SA, has found that there are some municipalities where the bucket system remains a prevalent, and provision of electricity is not just an Eskom problem, even at municipal level, devolved problem. Employment becomes an issue, and there's many others. And so we're speaking to two experts who can point to us the problems and also perhaps the solutions. We've spoken a little bit about sanitation and the bucket system, which remains deplorable, Moses Mnyaka. But what else has been found in the census that Stats SA has done? When you're looking at issues like employment and employability, what are you gauging?
Thanks, Lerato. But I just wish to move a step back and comment on that point of the bucket system. What is interesting, the trend is not the same. It changes year in, year out.
Okay.
One of the most common denominators is the mushrooming of the informal settlement.
Yes.
Municipalities now are obliged to provide some service. And the first one which they are able to do is the one of the water tanks, mm-hmm. and then also for the bucket system, because that will be easier to move around.
Mm.
But what we are anticipating now, as time goes, they should be replaced now with the normal toilet system.
Mm. Okay.
But it all goes along with the development. If you look nationally, for an example, there are provinces which have shown a lot of development in terms of trying to get rid of the bucket system. KZN, last year and this financial year, they didn't have any. Same applies with Gauteng as well as Limpopo.
Mm.
But the Western Cape we referred to, it showed a slight decline from 598 households to 514 still utilizing.
Right.
But the challenge has been sitting with the Free State and Eastern Cape, where Free State moved from 21,000 households to 26,000.
Yeah.
And Eastern Cape still sitting at 11,000. 500 to 11,595.
Right.
Those are the provinces where now there need to be a lot of work to try and get rid on all that type of the bucket system.
I do want us to move on and talk a little bit about employment, which is one of the things that was also studied. And this is a national crisis now, and particularly so because it affects young people. What are municipalities expected to do by way of harnessing employment opportunities or creating an enabling environment or even creating jobs?
Well, from the statistics point of view, the employment figures that we provide are not for the general community, but rather solely for the employees that are appointed within the municipal
office.
And those numbers now, the one of the reasons that have led to the challenge when it comes to sufficiency on delivery, the high vacancy rate on the managerial positions. For example, we are sitting at 18%. Vacancies for the managerial, and if those vacancies now are not filled in, it's difficult for the subordinates to perform their duties.
Got you. Okay.
Yes.
And so this goes back to the capacity issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then when it comes to the staff, it's sitting at around 10% vacancy rate, which is a bit lower than the managerial. But immediately now, the managers are not there to drive the implementation of projects, then it's difficult for municipalities to reach their communities and provide all the necessary services. And that goes along with the infrastructure and the budget constraints.
Nozipho, I want to bring you into this conversation because I'd obviously misunderstood employment as general opportunities, but it speaks to capacity within the municipalities to hire the right skills and retain those skills. What are some of the challenges that make it difficult to attract people to local municipalities, people who would have the know-how that's needed, whether it's accounting, procurement, or even just project management?
Lerato, I didn't completely miss the point. while this these numbers that were released by CSSA were looking at municipal employment, it has got a direct relationship to the ability of the city to deliver on services. Mm. Now, if you just think about the vacancy rates that have just been highlighted, what would be interesting to find out are what skills and what skills levels are those vacancies. Are we talking about in the organogram of the municipalities? Mm-hmm. Is it your cleaning services, your waiting services, or are we talking about the 18% is largely made up of your accountants, people in finance that would assist with audit outcomes, mm-hmm. your engineers, and very importantly, how many of these municipalities do not have senior manager positions that have been filled in the sense of city managers and the likes. Mm-hmm. So there is a relationship, because when you don't have critical vacancies filled, then your service delivery is compromised.
Yeah.
When it is compromised, then the private sector, in terms of investment, mm-hmm. when the services are not reliable, they might want to pull out of that area of that municipality and go to another municipality. Right. So there is that relationship. But what contributes, and I think Moses has already started talking to this, to these vacancy rates that we're talking about, number of factors once again here. One of them is the issue of budget, yeah. which he has spoken to. Mm-hmm. So when municipalities cannot collect, because in some instances they cannot render a mm-hmm. service, it means that there's no money to cover operational costs, which includes salaries as
right,
well.
Right.
The second thing is about the attractiveness in terms of the location.
Yeah.
Earlier on, I did say, where would a young engineer want to work? Somewhere in rural Free State? Or would they want to go to major cities?
Right.
We know for a fact that most of them would prefer to come to cities because of opportunities as much as
right.
there is competition. So there's a need to make working in these rural areas, rural municipality, to be attractive, and to make sure that the skills that are attracted there, it's not just your graduates, but some of your seasoned professionals are also attracted to these municipalities as
well. Nozipa, in the interest of time, I've got one question for you and one question for you, Moses, as well. So let's talk a solution here. Some municipalities are already looking at the issue of devolution, providing their own electricity, providing their own transport and rail network. What are some of the innovations that these municipalities could employ to provide services but also to generate much needed income?
So if I start, Lerato, it's not just a matter of devolution only, but it is also about municipalities going back in general, whether it's a metro, a district, or a category C municipality, going back to say, when we were established in terms of the constitution, what were we meant to do as a municipality? So water, sanitation, electricity, and refuse removal
mm-hmm.
are at the core of the services that are rendered by municipalities, and nobody else does it.
Mm-hmm.
Then number two is to say you might devolve, but also do realize that you might not be competent in all of the areas. There is a greater need for municipalities to realize that establishing partnerships with the private sector and with the NGOs
right.
and academia will play a critical role either in their devolution path or rendering services
right.
the way that they do. The challenges that we face, that the municipalities face, cannot just be resolved
right.
by municipalities on their own. While they have that responsibility, they require partnership
right.
and creative thinking on how to do that.
Thanks for that. Moses, a final comment from you. I'm curious that, Eastern Cape's not doing well, Free State's not doing well. Do you have any reasons why that is and how that could be sorted out?
Thanks, Lerato. If you saw the Sowetan on the Tuesday article, there was a reader who wrote an interesting letter where he analyzed in terms of the services rendered by municipalities, where out of the 257 municipalities, 175 are battling to render the services required due to the lack of revenue. The revenue which is generated by most rural municipalities cannot cope with the demands in terms of service delivery. Mm. The grants that they receive are minimal to only pay mostly their salaries and wages. Hence, now when it comes to the delivery, it gives a lot of challenge. Mm. We are going to see next week, Thursday, when we release the financial census of municipalities, the picture now that will be painted in terms of revenue, how much are they able to generate. Hence, now these services for all four basic sectors, for them to be able to happen, they need to be revenue, which is sustainable. Okay. Hence, I agree with my colleague, Lawson Paul. If there could be some partnership, we can see a huge difference and improvement on the service delivered.
I thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Power Talk. Moses Mnyaka, who's the Chief Director responsible for Government Financial Services at Stats SA and the Executive Manager for Programs for the SA Cities Network, Madam Nozipho Hlatshwayo. It's time for the news.